Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. This fucking guy, SBF, what a fucking clown. And we get so much insight because Forbes has leaked his intended speech, the speech that he intended to do to Congress, but then he got arrested, so I guess there's not going to be that speech. But holy shit, is this guy a mess. Ultimately, I think we're faced with the fact that this guy was on antidepressant his whole life, he says. Well, his old adult life, I guess. He says he's been feeling sad all of his life. So we had the wealth of the crypto world as the it was controlling the second biggest exchange in the crypto world, and he totally got fucked in the ass by CZ, by the technocrats, lawyers that are specialized in bankruptcy, but ultimately he is at fault in every case. But he puts this on the back of, well, the bankruptcy lawyers who were putting a lot of pressure on him. Well, don't fall to their pressure. He says he regretted 10 minutes after signing the Chapter 11 bankruptcy papers. He regretted, and he told his lawyers, don't file them, I regret it, I want to cancel the bankruptcy. And his lawyers took 6 hours, but ignored his request and then went to file it. So this guy got fucked by a bunch of, well, first CZ on one side, his girlfriend on the other side, his risk-taking on the other side, and a bunch of liars who wanted FTX to crash because they're going to make a lot of money. These liars, they take over your corporation and they pay themselves until there's no money left. And then they say, oh, well, there's no money left. Well, we did pay ourselves because we had to run the process of bankruptcy. And he points out that the lawyer who took over FTX has been making $700 million in lawyer fees when he dissolved Enron. So he's trying to repeat the same thing, of course. So Rodi Lassid says, who did he get fucked by? Who's they? Key. We'll be reviewing all of this and the relationship with his girlfriend, Alameda Research. Alameda Research had enormous, highly risky longs. And so they were leveraged. They had all sorts of ridiculous edges that didn't work. So they were ultimately long. The market crashed. They lost 90% of... Can you imagine having $10 billion? And you lose 90% of it. That's what happened in the last year. That was not even at the moment of the bankruptcy. That was in the events preceding the bankruptcy. For a whole year, they lost 90% of their billions and billions of dollars. Unbelievable. Today, I've been learning to master the dark force of pluming. Drain unclogging with a snake. Mama JF had been complaining. I love this too. I really loved it. Mama JF had been complaining that the flow of water wasn't good. There was a couple of events where the washing machine spit a little bit of water above and it outflowed the pipes. Of course, it wasn't much water, so it wasn't devastating for the house, but we knew that there was a problem. So Mama JF yesterday told me, this is a priority, you need to do this fast. And I was like, rebuilding the... I was thinking about rebuilding the whole drain system of the house, and I was like, this is going to take many weeks. But then I had this remembrance, sudden remembrance during the night, about these snake drains, uncloggers, and I was like, maybe it's worth giving that a chance before redoing a whole network of pipes. And so I drove to Civilization this morning, woke up at 6 a.m., I just drove. I just drove and went to buy because I wanted to have a long one. So I bought a 25 feet snake drain unclogger. I wanted to be able to get through any tubes and to get very far. And I was right because actually I had this left before I found the clog. And it's good, you rotate it and it advances like this. It gathers anything that's there and then you pull. And you can do this very far, 25 feet of pipe. That's quite something. It's enough to get to the end of any pipe in my home. So I just went to the end of the snake drain. I found one spot at 10 feet. It was a spot of dirt and just earth because it came from the washing machine. So I guess there was an accumulation of dust and it had kind of created a little bit like when you dig and there's clay in the soil, you know, it was pretty much like this. So it was soil, 10 feet in, I had one batch of soil come out. What's very interesting is that it stacks into the cylinder here. So you basically remove one cylinder at a time. You just bring it back. I brought back two or three. They were all full. You can shake it like this and it exits. You go back. And so that was 10 feet in. And then I went 25 feet in. And there was another batch of that kind of dirt clay that I'd accumulated, presumably from the washing machine. I removed it too. And now we have super flow. We have no problem of overflow. Total Grim sends a super chat. He says, please take care not to injure yourself in a pluming related accident and become a paraplegic should you require to install a chairlift in your house. You might be placed on the assisted suicide list by the government. Absolutely. We have to be. I mean, at this point, I have set my life that I'm assuming that I will not get help from the Canadian government for anything else but dying. So it's like the Canadian government can do whatever crazy stuff they want. They can promote in the city their assisted suicide program. I've set my life so that if I ever need assisted suicide, I know which door to knock. I got it. I got the pamphlets and everything. I know where to go. But other than this, I'm like, I'm set. I don't want to hear from the government too much. Doctor, the name says, citizen, I need help with my plumbing. Government, have you considered suicide? And this is so funny because there's these memes going around about Canada offering assisted suicide and basically pushing people who find themselves in front of a monopolistic healthcare system. And that's the sad thing. There are situations where assisted suicide is perfectly fine. If you have an incurable disease, you know, you're just going to suffer the next month only then to die. Sure, go for any service that's available. But the problem is the gray area and the fact that a lot of these people who choose suicide, it is because they don't have the alternative of trying to survive because they can't get on wait lists. They have to wait years before they get the healthcare service. So it becomes extortion. Go away says, oh no, JF was too busy plumbing to watch Fuentes on Alex Jones today. No, I never do plumbing at the expense of my preparation here. So I did watch Alex Jones with Nick Fuentes. I don't have much to say. I think it was a great performance by Nick Fuentes. I think he made kind of a Fox News type of editorialist coming and making a professional case, if you will, for questions of Jewish power and why we should be interested in them. And that was beautiful. And Alex Jones didn't have much to say, wasn't very relevant, pulled some of the usual counters that Nick Fuentes easily undermined. The message of Nick was, look, China as leaders, and you may disagree with communism, but there's no question that the Chinese leaders are trying to make the best decision for the Chinese people or themselves. Whereas in America, we have a ruling elite that is subverted by foreign power. We don't even get a chance at having pro-American decisions. And that was a very well-made point, and it was absolutely reasonable. So good performance by Nick. Some random bloke sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, whilst the border crisis continues on the U.S. southern border, the right-wing parties in Israel are tightening Israeli immigration laws so that the grandfather clause in the right of return will be changed to now being you have to prove you have a Jewish mother to become a citizen. Yes, I'm not surprised. Israel will always be combating the demographic change. You've seen how... Who was it? Was it... There was a talk show host, a late night talk show host who was very worried. Was it Jimmy Fallon or some other guy who was interviewing Benjamin Netanyahu? And he was super worried at the idea that you could lose the Jewish majority in Israel. And it's like, yeah, could we be worried about the same here? Like, it's all I'm asking for. If Israel wants to have an aggressive policy, to pursue their own demographic stability, but let's then acknowledge that it matters. It matters whether it's a Jewish or Muslim majority in Israel. So if it matters there, does it matter here? Can we talk about the fact that it matters? Can we talk about the fact that having demographics that become a majority, that are different from the demographics that founded the country will significantly change a country. Grapes Coda says, how long until assisted suicide is offered for those who are too unstable to make the decision themselves? Those crazy anti-vaxxers need to be put out of their misery. Absolutely. His last sentence is an illustration of what we don't want to happen. But it's going to happen, something like this. The probate court system has no limit. It has no limit imposed by legislation. They have been designed to address, you know, someone who's old and who's losing consciousness, someone in coma, but they will totally use it to sterilize a young woman. I mean, they've been doing it and they will continue doing it. So why wouldn't they start going after these these people who think differently, these political dissenters who they perceive as unfit for society? I mean, it's always been like this. This was basically the eugenic movement. 100 years ago, you had a bunch of psychiatrists who were taking in women and men, and they were filling paper that were saying, these people cannot care for themselves, and so we have to euthanize them, we have to lobotomize them. And I can't believe that in 2022 we haven't gotten rid of this. It's like, especially in a society that hates eugenics so much, you know, it seems that it should be easy to understand how the probate court system is being abused in a society that totally hates eugenics. This is way too much. What the fuck is this? People are taking the Christmas thing way too far. I don't even know if I'm going to teach the lie of Santa Claus to ever in my life to anyone. Because look at this. I mean, to me, this is child traumatizing, okay? But it's not so far from the regular Santa story. Look at this. They made a Grinch who's going to penetrate the house criminally and steal the gifts from under the tree. But But the children are fighting back and yelling at him.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel.
The guy went with the full jab to the chest. Holy shit. This is strong.
You're as ugly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch.
If you have a little thing to excite the children, but in the process of performing that thing you have to hit your children, it's time to consider that you went too far.
Grinch, you're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Don't do this. What the fuck is this? Don't do it. It's way too much, and you've just traumatized these children. They will have experienced a violation of their property, the place where they belong, and holy shit. I'm not doing any of this to children. I think it's abusive. Silver Spider says, this is why we need guns. I mean, there could be an accident. I mean, you saw how wild the little boy went. Thankfully, he didn't have a deadly means available to him. Vivek says, the dad plays the role of the traitorous boomer. All right, I will not read the rest. Exclusive, this I talked about yesterday, and I was happy to see that I wasn't totally divagating. Ye planned to meet Putin in Russia to discuss release of Brittany Griner. So Tim Cast has published this thing, which appears to be a contract signed by Ye, indicating that he wanted to meet Vladimir Putin on December 15th, 2022, which would be in 2 days from now. Now, the way I had interpreted this is maybe this meeting is coming, and I still think it may be coming. But the Timcast coverage suggests that this was a meeting that was planned for the Brittany Griner release to talk about it. And so, is it still going on since Brittany Griner has been released? I don't know. But in any case, I'm still excited at this idea. I think it would be a massive meme if we could see Nick Fuentes. I don't know if Nick Fuentes can use planes anymore, but if he could, and if he could go with Kanye West, that would be one of the best memes ever. It would be Christmas memes. And if they could get something like an advancement on the Paul Whelan liberation, holy shit, that would be a sign that Putin is just trying to humiliate America. That would be fantastic. End of the line. Joel says, Kanye was trying to get a business deal to put Yeezy branding on Putin's missiles. I can see that working somehow. Total Grimm says, Ye might be the only standing between us and nuclear Armageddon. Yeah, he could also be the one causing it. Let's be honest. Like, I can totally see him, arrive in front of Vladimir Putin and start saying, we are beings with engineering opportunities. And Vladimir Putin just misunderstanding that and somehow launching the nuclear codes. The Estonian says, Kanye probably has a private plane. Yeah, I mean, he has access to chartered private planes, but is it subject to NSA review, that kind of stuff? That becomes very complicated. Dr. Denname says, I hope this train wreck doesn't end with Ye and Frentes flying his private plane into a skyscraper. Well, hopefully he has healthy pilots, because I wouldn't want Kanye to be controlling the plane. Wild Chart reports Justin SBF is denied bail. He has been evaluated as a flight risk. Now, this was SBF applying for bail to a judge in the Bahamas. So he has also said that he would want an extradition hearing before being transferred toward the U.S. So he's not waiving his right to an extradition hearing, which means that there will be delay. He would not be instantly transferred to the U.S. He is denied bail because, of course, he is such an international personality with money and bitcoins potentially. He could be a flight risk. I think that's a reasonable decision. And he is expected to be deported to the U.S. so that he can be tried. Now, the most insightful thing today comes from Forbes. They have obtained direct access to the raw statement that he was prepared to make in front of Congress. I would like to start by formally stating under oath, I fucked up. I know that it doesn't mean much to say that I'm sorry, and so I'm dedicating as much of myself as I can to doing right by customers. When all is said and done, I will judge myself primarily by one metric, whether I have eventually been able to make customers whole. If I fail our customers in this regard, I have failed myself. So that is a 20 somewhat pages long speech that he prepared, and it gives us a lot of insight into where he's at, what happened. He's using patches, so a bunch of paparazzis have been taking picture of his home and have noted that there were patches of a medication, and they suggested that perhaps he was addicted to those patches, but it turns out that those patches were of an antidepressant called MZAC or MZEC, something like this. I had never heard of it. Apparently, he's been on these for a long time, and he's using the patches on his arm because he's been feeling depressive for all of his adult life. So that's the first big red flag. You cannot give control of such an important company to someone who's deeply depressed like this, who's always been depressed, who's never been cured really by his medical, by the patches, basically. He's never really been cured. He said he has been sad most of his life, despite the medication. And you can see the moment where the forces reverted between continuing to roll with FTX, trying to save the funds, and going for the bankruptcy. And that moment resembles a lot like the moment when a depressive person commits suicide, where they have a feeling of release, kind of abandonment to God, kind of, I suffer too much, at least if I do this, it's out of my hands. There's very much a suicidal signature to how he ended up at 4:30 a.m. in the morning, deciding that he was opting for the route of bankruptcy, which he regretted 10 minutes later. And so he didn't want to go in bankruptcy anymore. 10 minutes after signing, he has signed those documents through DocuSign on the internet. He clicked accept, that signed the document to his lawyer, who now he believes a kind of conspiracy theory around his lawyers. He believes that they are basically in for the money. Ugh. His conspiracy theory is that his lawyers tricked him into making the decision that would bring them the most money. Yeah. I mean, so many people should listen to this story, the story of SBF, so they can understand. Especially if you're going to be the leader of a big corporation, everyone around you is your enemy. Your employees are your enemy. They are parasite. They want to drain from you. Your liars are your enemies. They are parasite. They want to drain from you. Everyone is your enemy. Your competitors are your enemies. The people you work with are your enemies. Your contractual entities are your enemies. Your liars, your bosses, your CEO, all of them are sharks, and they're there to get you. And your competitors are your last worry. Your competitors are the enemies that are using an honorable way to try to beat you. The one thing you must be scared about is how the internal team have their own interest. You have to understand this. When you interact with a divorce lawyer. A divorce lawyer will either make $400 with you, and that's if you have a good deal with your husband or wife and you all agree on something and you don't want to bring it to trial. Or they're going to make $20,000 from you. And that's if there's conflict, disagreement, false allegations, that kind of stuff. So the lawyer is totally incentivized at giving you the worst possible counsel. And I don't know that telling SBF to go bankrupt, to declare bankruptcy, to file a Chapter 11 bankruptcy, I don't know that this was bad counsel. I think it's pretty obvious from what he writes that he was in total red, and mostly because of Alameda Research bets and his mismanagement of FTX itself. I don't think that it was necessarily a bad idea to go bankrupt, but don't have any delusions here. Of course, the liars who told you to go bankrupt, of course, they wanted to make money. And he describes the kind of circle that created around him. And it was like the liar from the firm that will receive the fees from FTX for handling the Chapter 11 bankruptcy, also put one of their guys into power that would replace SBF too. And this guy was the guy who liquidated Enron. And he's also specialized in that kind of stuff, in taking over companies and paying himself fees. What he describes, of course, is a set of interests, but there's not a single judge who will look at this and say, oh yeah, you're right, there's a conspiracy. They're all going to say, well, lawyer fees are normal. The customers of FTX must pay their lawyer fees. Because the scam of liaring is very much respected by the judges. They're never going to find it abusive. So, but know this, if you are heading an important corporation, there might be a moment where you have to sign a Chapter 11 filing. Don't do it lightly like SBF did. Look at him. He says, I deeply regret giving in to pressure to sign forms that precipitated the Chapter 11 filing just a few days after FTX International became potentially insolvent. Among other things, the Chapter 11 team was thrust into a very difficult situation, and I worry that they were given very misleading information by a few members of the FTX US team when they joined. They are trying to manage multiple complex global entities and systems without support from many of the teams who used to run them. I believe it will be extremely hard, if not impossible, for the Chapter 11 team to move forward constructively without working cooperatively with the many foreign jurisdictions that have direct regulatory and operational control over FTX International and its subsidiaries. So whenever there's this kind of event, and especially in the space of crypto and an exchange related to crypto, the problem is the boomers who are going to take over FTX, I don't think they fully understand. I don't think they fully understand that the more heavy they go in taking over, the more the rats will flee the ship. That was the title of one of my episodes. And you have people in some country that may have the cryptographic keys, or they may not. And you have Bitcoin plates of metal with some words. Some employees may have access to it or may not. Nothing is safe. It's not like taking over a traditional corporation where everything is registered at the bank and you can easily tell the bank, freeze everything, and we're going to have a look at this. Crypto doesn't freeze. And I think that the attitude, the overly aggressive attitude of the very team that is supposed to liquidate and supposed to come here to help customers may very well lead to the loss of funds, may very well lead to sending signals to employees that it's time to run with the crypto keys. And there may be really nothing left at the end other than a pocket change to pay the lawyer fees. I really don't like how these boomers are taking over. And you saw them in Congress in a hearing. I believe it was yesterday or maybe today. I've seen some clips of it. And the lawyer is ridiculing SBF and FTX. The guy who took over FTX is now saying, look, they were ridiculous. And I can understand that they were ridiculous in many ways. But one example that he brings is, look, they were using QuickBooks. They were using the software QuickBooks. The thing is, for accounting, is it a mistake? Is it a good thing? The thing is, you can create the accounting of a company on a piece of paper. I do all of my accounting with pen and paper. That's it. I do all of my taxes with pen and paper. That's it. So it's not necessarily bad that QuickBooks was one of the tools used. But of course, he says this and the politician says, QuickBooks! It may not be the top tool, but it's a tool in which you can note income and assets. And in many cases, it may be enough. You know, no one believes that QuickBooks was the platform used for running the FTX exchange. So obviously there were other things going on. Obviously they had their own homemade software and their whole web platform. But the fact that there was a QuickBooks sheet recording what the company had is not necessarily indicative of, is not necessarily invoking ridicule. But yet they are treating it as ridicule. So the team that is currently managing the liquidation of FTX is engaged in overreach of ridicule. They want to crash FTX into the ground. Because the more crashed FTX is, the more lawyer fees they're going to make. And that's a sad thing, and SBF has a good understanding of this, and he lays it out clearly. He says that he has offered many times to help this team, but they don't want to hear from him. Mr. Ray is not even answering his emails. 5 different emails, each of those saying, hey, I have important information about how to take over FTX competently and what you would have to do. And no answer. They don't even engage with Sam Bankman-Fried. Do they understand crypto? Sam Bankman-Fried may be the only human beings, potentially, with the cryptographic keys that would give access to certain Bitcoin wallets. If I have Sam Bankman-Fried writing an email to me saying, JF, we need to talk. I have something very important to tell you. It's like, oh yeah, where, when? They haven't even answered his emails. That is the sign of a boomer takeover. It's a bunch of boomers who don't understand that the Bitcoin keys could be had by anyone. And the more people have them, the more people have access to these keys, the more danger there are for them. And their priority should be that if they have any control of any crypto wallet, they should concentrate these wallets, send to a wallet that they fully control and that they know they have created themselves. That is how you would take over a crypto company, but it seems to be not what they want to do. They don't even want to hear it. They don't want to hear that perhaps there are funds. They want to claim that there's nothing left. It's better for them. He complains that they have not answered. All right. So what happened? I think that this story is based around Alameda Research. So he started the hedge fund Alameda Research in 2017, but when he started working when he started building FTX, he basically handed Alameda Research to his girlfriend. So the problem is that Alameda Research was making extremely risky bets with hedges that didn't work at all. I personally don't like hedges. I don't understand hedges. Hedges is supposed to be a protection against certain market events, but I think you end up paying so much for it that, and in this case, see, the hedges didn't work. So you have to really know that there are limits to this hedge strategy. So the story is that in early November, over a three-day period, the market value of assets that Alameda Research held declined dramatically. I believe that by more than 50%. Now, more than 50% is after they had 90%. 90% lost over the year. So they had basically run up to their limit. They had lost everything. And now he tells the story of CZ from Binance starting to see doubt in people's mind. At the same time, there was a run on the bank on FTX. There were, I believe, roughly $4 billion of client withdrawals per day, starting shortly after CZ, Binance CEO, tweeted on November 6th that he would sell all of his company's holding in FTT, a token that Alameda Research had substantial holdings in. I think that the insight that he provides with respect to the size of Alameda Research, basically, he thought that they had 8 billion of hedges, but that turned out to not work, and so they had the equivalent of 2 billion of hedges, and they were playing with 11 billion. The risk that his girlfriend took, is the initiating event that puts him in a very bad position. I don't know why, though. Why is it that Alameda Research is putting FTX in a bad position? This must be because there were flows of money. This must be because you were sending money somehow. You were sending the deposits of your users to Alameda. Grief says, are you keeping well? You are a real JF loyalist. I just joined Odyssey the other day due to the Ye and Team Pool stuff. Hopefully, I'll see you around more often at Total Grim. All right, good to see you, Grief. Silver Spider says, go away, JF should give you his crypto codes for safekeeping. No, never. All right, if you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. And notice we didn't get a no sound bug at the beginning of the night. Everything went fine tonight. I think Odyssey is working hard on fixing the no audio problem. DK Shadow says, MIT graduates are ruined by three things: Adderall, harem girlfriend and leverage. Well, yeah, I mean, leverage will always wreck anyone. Now he talks about the fact that, okay, there wasn't enough controls. What he says is he would have liked to have a display of all the funds that FTX had publicly, and then he would have liked to have a display of all the wallets that FTX controls publicly. He wanted, but he didn't do it. So, I mean, the thing is, when you start displaying these things publicly, you can generate fear if these indicators somehow don't indicate safety. So it's kind of working against your own interest to display those. But yeah, for the sake of transparency, that would have been a good idea. But now it's too late. So when you see how I think it's very insightful as to how he describes the CZ interaction. The run on the bank was triggered by the same tweet by Binance CEO. That tweet followed what I believe to be a month of sustained negative PR on FTX, largely being driven by Binance. Alameda's hedges failed in November 2022 because the crash was specific to its hedges, triggered by the same PR campaign by CZ. So we're starting to see a conspiracy theory here that CZ would not just have defamed FTX publicly with the goal of having it crash, but that CZ would have basically a whole strategy where he would get Alameda Research to fail by attacking parts of the market that were specific to its edges. I don't know if I believe that one. Around November 8, we agreed with CZ on a deal that would have Binance acquire FTX at a small fraction of its value a week earlier. We signed an LOI. During that time, I received serious expressions of interest from multiple potential investors who represented billions in capital that could have gone to customers. I was inhibited in responding because of the letter of intent. So he's suggesting that CZ showed interest in buying just to have him sign a letter of intent in which he committed not to discuss with any other potential investors. And this would have shut him down for many days during the time Binance was hesitating, basically. And then Binance says what? A day later, Binance announced they were not going to go through with the deal. We learned about them backing out from their Twitter post. As best I can tell, Binance never intended to go through with the deal. So he's suggesting that CZ was there playing with the markets, targeting Alameda Research. Somehow CZ would have so much influence on the market, he could know what Alameda Research was engaged in terms of position and play with the market in a way that specifically fucks their edges up. And then CZ, the evil plotter, would have developed a letter of intent of which the only goal was not truly to buy FTX. It was to shut down the possibility of SBF to go out there and find new investors who would save him. That is very conspiratorial, very complex. I cannot say that it's impossible. But I find the transfer of responsibility to CZ too big here. It's like you're talking about a targeted market attack that would have cost billions of dollars to deploy. I mean, just influencing the market to crash Alameda Research, that is an overreach. Maybe the letter of intent had some dark intent to it, but also perhaps not, you know. And so I'm not judging CZ based on these claims here, because I think it's a little too big. It's a little paranoid. Yes, DK Shadow, it is absolutely paranoid. Now, one thing I didn't know, FTX actually paid about $3 billion to Binance very recently. So that could be one of the other reasons why they had a liquidity problem. They had been handicapped from $3 billion. $3 billion that was approximately $3 billion of capital was used buying Binance's stake in FTX because Binance's equity ownership was causing KYC issues for FTX. Binance was not cooperative in supplying information about CZ to regulatory bodies FTX was applying for licensure with. Very interesting. So CZ from Binance had bought a big portion of FTX at its founding, so it had equity in FTX. It wasn't that much of a competitor at the beginning. It was part of a development of Binance initial investment. And FTX decided to buy back its shares. Why? Because CZ didn't want to give information about himself to certain KYC, know your customer type of countries and regulations. So in a way, you can see this as CZ has taken a route with Binance. There are certain jurisdictions in which they will deal. They are present in Canada and they seem to be doing fine. There was a little hesitation about whether they could continue business in Toronto, in Ontario, I believe, because Ontario was coming with harsh laws and everything. But I think this was withdrawn, and eventually they're back in business in Ontario. But basically, CZ does not want necessarily to be everywhere. He wants to be everywhere where it's CZ, but if they go too hard on the regulatory side, he just withdraws Binance from this country. And FTX had another approach. They wanted to be everywhere. They wanted to apply to the countries with the most regulations. And that led to CZ having to reveal information that he may not have wanted to reveal. CZ's life must be quite a security issue in and of itself. You know, he may not want to reveal to certain intelligence agencies, certain countries, everything about himself. So that's what forced them to buy back at $3 billion his share, because they couldn't advance in these countries as long as one of their main investors was demanding a level of secrecy that's a little more. Fascinating. And CZ was pissed, apparently, and he was threatening to withdraw from the deal when this deal came of paying him $3 billion. At the last minute, he said, I'm threatening to withdraw from the deal. You have to add $75 million. And FTX paid, Alameda Research paid, the $75 million extra last minute demanded by CZ. Why? Because CZ had understood that by his unwillingness to give his personal info when it was requested by all these new countries in which FTX wanted to expand, CZ had understood that he had massive leverage over FTX. He held them by the balls, so much so that he could ask $75 million more all of a sudden and they would give it to him. Beautiful, beautiful. And here you can see CZ, the master dealer, the art of the deal of CZ. He went so rough with them that basically he's part of the causal chain here, why they were so much in debt. But you can't blame CZ for it. CZ was demanding a lot of money for himself, and he got it. And then they crashed. Philosoraptor sends a super chat. He says, "Hi, JF, doesn't it feel like we're winning? So many positive developments. P.S. I very much enjoyed the show yesterday." Oh, yeah. I'm feeling like 2022 is our best year since I'm streaming. In terms of public events turning our way, I couldn't have asked for more. I mean, we have the FTX collapse, exposing a bunch of grifters of the crypto space. We have Kanye, we have Nick Fuentes memeing. We have Alex Jones basically canceling or dropping under the bus these two guys, Ye and Nick Fuentes. It's kind of beautiful. We have Milo being excluded from the circle due to some 6D chessing by Nick. I mean, what else? There's been so much this year. It's unbelievable. Well, the Elon Musk purchase of Twitter. The left is completely triggered. Some of them are leaving Twitter because they're seeing misinformation, which actually is information. They just haven't ever seen that type of information, but it's information. My God. 2022 has outcompeted 2020, 2021, even perhaps 2016. 2016 was naive childhood memeing. I remember 2016 a little bit like I remember my childhood. Too beautiful. The world cannot be as beautiful as I remember it to be. There must have been some parts of the world that I wasn't aware of because I was living an idyllic childhood. Very nice, hanging out in the village with my bike, with my cousins and friends. So, of course, I'm sure there were terrible things happening during my childhood, but I wasn't aware of them. It's a little bit how I think of 2016. It was a naive profusion of memes and memoirs. It was fun, but I'm sure that the defeat that we had to go through was already encoded somehow in 2016. So he made a number of significant mistakes, he says. He says that he wasn't spending much time working on the base of FTX. He was more engaged in policymaker, lobbying, branding. Well, yeah, I mean, but this is the guy that you are. Like, if I start a company, there's not a moment at which I'm dedicated to branding, especially not a computer-based company. If I start a company, a computer programming or web platform of any kind, there's never a point at which I'm dedicating hundreds of millions to buy an arena name. Well, I'm buying a professional sports team. Forget it. I'll be on the programming forever. So you are the kind of guy who went for this. And I believe that his depression is popping out here when he says, "I also pride myself on having a strong work ethic. I began FTX by routinely working 18 hours per day. But for much of 2022, I believe that I was working about 30% less than I used to, and even when I was working, I was less focused and disciplined than I used to be." So that's a man at the extremity of what he can provide. He wasn't able to give anymore, and something tells me depression plays a role here. Philosoraptor says, "Plus the pandemic ending and the players exposed, 2022 is truly an epic year." Absolutely. And we now have Elon Musk claiming on Twitter that he's going to reveal stuff about Fauci. Is it true that Elon Musk said he's going to reveal stuff that puts Fauci in jail? Did he say that? I saw it on the memes. I had a hard time believing it. So he deeply regrets what happened. He would have wanted more transparency, more public API, so people can connect and immediately check the reserves of FTX. Now, this is one of the most interesting aspects. It's where he starts describing the evil Sullivan and Cromwell, the evil liars who are conspiring to pay themselves lawyer fees. Of course, that's what lawyers do. But it seems to be pretty dirty the way they went at it. He says that they started pressuring, so Sullivan and Cromwell was one of the primary external law firms that represented FTX US as well as FTX International. I have 19 pages of screenshot of Sullivan and Cromwell, Mr. Miller, and others I believe were influenced by them, all sent over a two-day period, pressuring me to quickly file for Chapter 11. They range from adamant to mentally unbalanced. They also called for many of my friends, co-workers, and family members, pressuring them to pressure me to file, some of whom were emotionally damaged by the pressure. Some of them came to me crying. So you have this law agency. They've made huge money supervising the liquidity, the liquidation of failing firms. And they see the big potential of their life. A multiple billion international firm that is crashing, that has crypto reserves, potentially lots of money that they could charge infinite fees from. And he says, it was only later that I was informed that it was very unusual for such a significant filing to be made so quickly. Sullivan and Cromwell chose John Ray to run the Chapter 11 team. So there he's saying they put their guy at the top as CEO replacing SBF, and they also are the firm benefiting from the Chapter 11, and they're also the ones who were calling his family. During the time I was pressured to file, Sullivan and Cromwell lawyers told my counsel that I would get to choose the board chair. Sullivan and Cromwell silently reneged on that a few days later. So false promises being made, oh, you're going to have some control. But no, you have zero control. You've given it up in writing. Always keep in mind, oral promises and these kinds of pressured last-minute deals are worth nothing. The guys who invented McDonald's, if you want to see the movie, I don't remember the title of the movie, but the movie about the rise of McDonald's, at the end of the movie, they realized that the promise that they were made, that they would get a profit on each McDo, they would get a share of the profit. It was an oral promise and it was worth nothing. If it's not in writing and you have a written version of your contract, whatever promise doesn't count anymore. Tillman says, JF, have you read any of Andrew England's Twitter post about divorce, how it affects the children? I didn't, because no, I'm still not unbanned from Twitter, so I only go on Twitter when a news must be illustrated and that I only have a Twitter source. I am asking Elon, please unban me. I have done nothing wrong. At roughly 4:30 a.m. on November 10th, against my better judgment, I clicked on a DocuSign link that would nominate John Ray as the CEO of various entities. This is the moment. This is where you lose control. He had a DocuSign document. He was like, I shouldn't do this. It's a bad idea. I'm going to lose control. I don't know what to do. I'm desperate. I'm depressive. I'm sad. Okay, I'm going to click. He signed away. He signed away control of all the entities, which means that now it was taken over by someone who was sympathetic to lawyer fees and crashing FTX down, making sure that the crash continues so that he can be sure that in the years going forward, he can collect infinite fees with his friends in the liar business. A few minutes thereafter, less than 10 minutes later, I received a potential funding offer for billions of dollars to help make customers whole. A few minutes thereafter, I instructed my counsel to rescind the document. It had become clear to me that it was not the best way forward. My counsel informed me a few minutes later that it was too late to rescind it and that Sullivan and Cromwell liars were submitting it on my behalf despite my instructions not to. Roughly 6 hours later, more than ample time to change course, Sullivan and Cromwell filed the document with the court against my express wishes and stated orders. Whenever you give something to a liar, they will ignore any future communication of you until they push that thing to where it advantages them. So if you file, if you give them a document signed by your hand that says, okay, I'm giving you all this property, I'm giving you control of everything, they're going to go file it first. And suddenly they're not going to be at the phone. Suddenly they're not going to be reading their emails. And liars know exactly how you can plausibly deny reading an email. Because you never, even if an email is marked as read under Gmail or some other platform, they can always argue that they weren't the one reading it. They can say, oh, I was on my way to the court to go file the document. So when you give away control, you cannot take it back. And of course, that's what happened here. It's a takeover by a team. Now, we can also argue that this guy is delusional, because in a lot of places of this text, so to be clear, it may be fine. It may be the only solution to FTX that it's taken over by bankruptcy liars. But it's fascinating to see that this guy is in this conspiracy type of regret of, oh my God, they took over. Well, you gave them control. You signed it yourself. And also, you know, he's still in the mood of, I can get more billions. I can fix that with more billions, more friends, more of the network of people I know, more flooding of money toward my direction, like a blob, constantly draining billions from everyone. But if you're at the point where you have ruined your reputation, where you are not honoring client withdrawals, suddenly the billions that come your way, they come at a high cost. I mean, the people who would have committed those sums would probably have demanded control and ownership. So, I mean, it is so sad because we're talking about a depressive and paranoid guy who's right on a couple of things. Yeah, the business of Chapter 11 bankruptcy takeovers is a tough business, and it's basically theft. It's like the poor customers have been already the victim of theft, and then there's a bunch of other theft coming in saying, we want liar fees. That's what it is, yes. Tillman says, JF, this is what I was talking about when Ye got shut down.
Created a channel on.
Well, it says too hot for Clubhouse. So I'm not going to play something that's too hot for Clubhouse. Yeah. By the way, I started banning people on Discord. Night King has been on the Discord for years. But he publishes these things with words that are banned from Discord. So I had to ban him. Because I'm Purple Tuna. I gave him such a strong warning in DM. I said, take a week of break. Don't come back to the Discord. People are referring to, they're sharing videos that use the F word, the whatever word, the N word, and they talk about violence, and they say, oh, these people should get shot. None of this is valid on Discord. So I had to start banning people. what the fuck is happening with the crowd? It's like they seem to think that the rules are gone suddenly. The rules are not gone. Even on Twitter, the rules are not gone. So I don't know what the fuck you guys are thinking. Roughly 6 hours later, okay, so basically the takeover by the liar team. So he says, so to summarize, to the best of my knowledge, when Enron went through the Chapter 11 process, John Ray and the very same liar firm were both liars and or administrators for the estate, which paid out roughly $700 million in legal fee. Then, when FTX crashed, an ex-SNC partner chose SNC to represent FTX. SNC pressured me to file Chapter 11 documents and filed the documents despite my instructions not to. SNC chose John Ray as the new CEO of the Chapter 11 estate. John Ray then chose SNC to represent the Chapter 11 estate. SNC reneged on an agreement to let me choose the board chair, and then John Ray appointed the board. You got fucked by every hole, my man. And it's through your signature only. You suck, SBF. You suck. You've been scammed by, yes, obviously a scam. But it's a scam you must be aware of. When you sign DocuSign stuff at 4:30 a.m. in the morning, it's something that every business leader should understand. Yes, there's these cannibalistic kind of scavenger type of animals in the human species. They specialize in people failing, and that's what you got caught with. But you signed it away to them. In an official statement, the Bahamas Attorney General Ryan Pinder said it is possible that the prospect of multi-million dollar legal and consultancy fees is driving both the Chapter 11 team's legal strategy and their intemperate statements. So even the Bahamas officials, Attorney General, is like, you know, these guys, John Ray, in front of the Congress, decredibilizing FTX and say, ha ha ha, QuickBooks, ha ha ha. They may be motivated by the more FTX can fail, the more it can be lengthy and painful, the more money they're making. He says, I will end this section with a screenshot of a message. Mr. Miller, so one of the liars, sent to much of FTX leadership at 10:23 p.m. on November 8. I need to wire Sol Crumb, so the liar firm, $4 million to make sure we are all represented through this and we preserve any value that is left. Tomorrow, from FTX.com cash. Who can do it? I'm in charge now. The guy took over the company. The first thing he does is there's cash in the bank account. Let's wire it to the liar firm for liar fees. So yeah, you've been totally fucked. You've been fucked, SBF, to the point where even what's left at the bottom of what your incompetence left is going to be drained by vultures. Vulture liars specialized in this. There's no way people are seeing a cent from this crap. Because within the first minutes, the guy has not even confirmed that he's in charge now. He's confirmed, though, that he took $4 million cash from the FTX account. $4 million that could have gone to saving a few more customers that were scammed. It's going straight to Sullivan and Crumb, the liar firms that took over this falling edifice. It's a beautiful... I'm happy that SBF is doing that description. What I'm unhappy about is how naive he looks through it all. he's like, oh yeah, I knew that this was a bad idea, but I clicked. I knew that these guys were doing this, but I let them do it. Stephen Robinson says, JF, do you think the federal government will give SBF a computer to trade equities with while he's in prison? A slave trader, if you will. But why would you want to do this? I mean, use a coin flip. A coin flip will do better. This guy was headed for failure no matter what. The coin flip gives you 50% chance, at least. now he is talking about a very important subject, which is how it seems that a bunch of American entities currently are planning a kind of super fraud above all these frauds that are already in there, which is basically to reimburse the American customer first. And this is observable, or even not the American customers, but the American lawyers. This is observable through the fact that SBF is saying the FTX US funds should be solvent. So people should be able to get back their money if they were on the US platform. And yet the bankruptcy team didn't ask just for the seizure of assets of the US version of the platform. They asked for seizure of assets in other countries. Sometimes countries that were independently running on the FTX International label. And SBF says they're basically trying to take that money from FTX International, repatriate it into the US so that the US lawyers can be paid. But all of this leaves all of the customers outside of the US, including in Canada. They would find themselves with nothing left, and everything would have been drained by the American lawyers. That is currently SBF's theory, as far as I can tell from this part. And it's interesting. I mean, there's a big question of international justice here. If, for example, the Bahamas government was criticized for draining crypto away and trying to secure some of the Bitcoin wallets, and the US says we want those Bitcoin wallets. Well, whose Bitcoin wallets are these? Are they meant to reimburse American vulture liars, American customers of FTX US, or international customer of FTX International? Do you divide? Do you give US first? It's going to be quite a puzzle. And I feel that, and what SBF is defending here, he's saying the Bahamas authorities are actually the clever one, and because they have protected against the possibility of an ingerence into their sovereign territory, where US lawyers would be taking in the crypto wallets and sending them to the US, and oh, suddenly it's a US Bitcoin. See, a Bitcoin has no country. And what they've done, what they tried to do with the wallets, is preserve them in the Bahamas, precisely because this team of corrupt lawyers and CEOs, new CEO, are very likely to drain it away from the Bahamas. Now, he's going very far in that part of the statement. He's claiming that the statements that were made about the Bahamas authority are a form of racism. He's saying that their assumption, and he's talking about John Ray's team here, their assumption without evidence of malign intent on the part of the Bahamas authorities, and incompetence on the part of other races, cultures, and governments would be considered deeply offensive if directed at American minorities. It is no less offensive when directed at the citizens of other countries, let alone their regulators. Meanwhile, seizing assets overseen by other governments is a practice most recently considered appropriate centuries ago. there's going to be a massive conflict as to, is this Bitcoin a US Bitcoin or a Bahamas Bitcoin? I don't know what will happen with this, but, you know, SBF with his usual leftism finds no other path than to invoke some kind of racist concern here. If they judge the Bahamas government for preserving those crypto wallets, it's because they're racist. I think it's just that. I don't think it's because they're racist. I think it's because everyone wants the Bitcoin wallet. Everyone wants, because that's all there is. It's all, the Bahamas want it, the US want it from the Bahamas. Finally, the last part of this is quite interesting, because it touches the point of Jewishness. Well, before we get to this, he goes into more detail about CZ, and he claims that CZ accused him in private of causing crashes on the market. He denies this, that he would have manipulated the price of certain currencies. He denies this. That he was looking at, that he was giving info to his girlfriend so that she could front-run customers from FTX, so basically make the trade before them and profit instead of them. He said that is not true. And on the point of the various conspiracy theories involving him and the Ukraine and the DNC, any theory that I conspired with the government of Ukraine to do anything other than what I stated I was doing, creating pathways for contributions to Ukrainians and to their defense, is not just false, but deeply offensive. And any theories that a US political party, the Democrat Party, was further involved in such a conspiracy are themselves categorically false and offensive. That's a straw man, my friend. Because I've been making some claims like this, but I never claimed that the Democrats were involved in the conspiracy. See how he sets, he moves the goalpost and it becomes a straw man. Any theory that a US political party was involved in such a conspiracy, well, what if they were not involved in the conspiracy with Ukraine, but they benefited from it? That is our claim. We claim that the Democrat Party has benefited from your shenanigans, and they did. So don't just go to exaggerate our claim and say, oh no, look, there's no conspiracy with the Democrat Party. No, our claim is you messed up with client money and you sent it to the Democrat Party, and the Democrat Party benefited from it. Colorado says, Odyssey now working for me wouldn't let me log on for 2 months. Ah, well, sorry about this. Sometimes it's a cache issue with your browser, so I don't know what did it. Grief says, are you looking forward to Millennial, JF? You are always very funny when you talk with Woz. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, it's been a while since I haven't interacted with a human being on stream, you know? I'm becoming more and more of an autist solo shower. So it's going to be fun to speak with Millennial Woz, and there might be another Christmas gift for you guys. I will be speaking with David Duke. Mark Collett just wrote to me this morning, would you be free to do that show with Duke next week? And so I said, sure, any day except the 24th, because the 24th I have Millennial Woz. So next week we're going to get a Millennial Woz Millennial, and we're going to get a Mark Collett, JF, and David Duke trio. It's going to be absolute Christmas. It's going to be the whitest Christmas you've ever seen. Now look at this. Various claims that I am Jewish. Okay, let's talk about the various claims that you are Jewish. He says, okay, technically this claim is correct. I admit. I love this guy. Technically, this claim is correct. My name is Samuel Benjamin Bankman-Fried, and my ancestors mostly arrived at Ellis Island in the first half of the 20th century. I'll leave to the reader to guess why they came. Holy shit, this guy couldn't help himself. He invokes the Holocaust. He doesn't even say it by name. He says my ancestors came at the beginning of the 20th century. I'll leave it to the reader to guess why they came. 6 million. You have to see it in your head. It's coming 6 million. Hashtag never again. They came before because of Hitler, of course. You have to evoke these images in your head without even the words. You have to remember. But I don't think I need to spell out the implications being made. That's his answer to the Jewish question. I don't think I need to spell out what I'm being accused of here. We've been very clear in what we were accusing you of. We accused you of being part of a network of self-serving entities who self-serve so much that they end up dishonoring their obligations towards society, a long line from Bernard Madoff to you. That's it. And that you've used these connections with father, connections with mother, connections with academics, connection with the weird geeky girlfriend, and that you've used these connections to defraud more people than you would have if you didn't have these connections. Why don't you spell out this and answer to it? Is that true or it's false? And then he confirms that he does take MSAM, but not to treat Parkinson's disease. He says MSAM is a drug meant for addressing depression. I have a prescription for MSAM and have for roughly a decade. I use it daily for its only on-label use as an antidepressant. It is not generally the case that people are expected to talk about their private medical conditions, but enough paparazzis have snapped photos of my belongings and theorized about it online that I guess I have no choice. The last few months have been difficult enough for everyone that it feels unremarkable to me in comparison that I need to put on the official congressional record that I am, and for most of my adult life, have been sad. That's how he finishes his statement. Holy shit, bro. Cheer up, something. No, he ends with, and for most of my adult life, I've been sad. This guy. That's why the first thing that came to mind for the title of this of this show was this fucking guy. I've made many mistakes this year, but these are not among them. So, okay, it's not a mistake. Okay, because he's debunking false stories, so he's saying, I haven't committed these mistakes. New guy says, it's all a victim narrative, the latest ploy to evade responsibility. Well, I think he's in for some intense jail time. What's sad is what will be left of the funds after these vultures put their hands on it. I don't see much being left, especially for the international customers. Now, what you may have is a American takeover of the money, and even something, a deep injustice would be made if it was the case that some of the money that was into FTX International, and that's one of his big worries, that the money into FTX International somehow gets redirected by the John Ray guy toward the US for paying the US lawyers even more, and the international investor finds themselves with nothing. Twitter has dissolved its Trust and Safety Council in its entirety per a new internal email. The council focused on online safety and harassment, blah, blah, blah. Well, that is, was it the new council that Elon Musk was putting together? Because he was putting it together in, as a promise to the ADL. In exchange, they would not ask for people to withdraw their publicities from Twitter, but they broke their side of the commitment. So Elon just went fully wild. But I didn't know he was canceling the Trust and Safety Council. The leftists are pissed, of course. What an absolute twat this man is. And it wasn't Twitter that dissolved the council. It was this little rich boy who got booed off a stage last night. Well, okay. These guys are pissed. Twitter dissolves Trust and Safety Council. That's a title at the Washington Post. U.S. set to send Ukraine Patriot missiles in major escalation. CNN's chief Pentagon correspondent is reporting the breaking news based on multiple anonymous U.S. defense officials, including a senior Biden administration official, that the White House is currently finalizing plans to send Patriot missile defense systems to Ukraine. I said it a couple of months ago, and I still believe it. If we end up in a nuclear war, it will be because the US will have wanted it, and they are acting like they want it. You're gonna give missiles to a bunch of Ukrainians who will attack Russia and provoke further into Russia, and that might very well lead to nuclear attacks. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, do we have any reason to be concerned about novel or ancient pathogens that melt from the world's permafrost as the earth warms? Does Northern Canada have any contingency or emergency plans for this, as they would be of the first affected? No, you don't have to be afraid. I know there's a horror movie where this is what happens, and it's some kind of extraterrestrial, I think, or something like this. But no, the fact is that there is no reason why an ancient virus would be any more dangerous than existing virus. In fact, everything points to the fact that it must be harder. The oldest the virus is, the more it has not been evolving for the current population, the more disconnect, evolutionary disconnect there is between what the virus can do and the current existing host. So, absolutely not worried about it. There is infinitely more chance that a dangerous virus emerges from existing viruses than from ones that are already outdated from an evolutionary standpoint. They have not seen a human for 10,000 years, for 100,000 years, for 100 million years. They haven't seen a single animal, and therefore they are misfits of the current world, and they have less chances of being efficient. What else do we have? White House flips out after Musk says Fauci-funded research killed millions. These personal attacks that we have been seeing are incredibly dangerous. They are disgusting, and they are divorced from reality. That's what the White House was saying. I strongly disagree. Forcing your pronouns upon others when they didn't ask and implicitly ostracizing those who don't is neither good nor kind to anyone. As for Fauci, he lied to Congress and funded gain-of-function research that killed millions of people. Not awesome, in my opinion. By the way, this whole comment on forcing your pronouns is very relevant. I like it. I think it's important to establish this. The whole movement of forcing pronouns on others is a movement for compelled speech, a movement for controlling what I think. Like, I can have my opinion on whether you're male or female. You can have your own self-perception and self-identity, but I have my opinion on your maleness. The same way I can say you're a bad pianist. Like, you wouldn't have a pianist come to me and say, "Jeff, I identify as a good pianist." Well, no, I think you're bad. And sometimes I think there are some people who are bad at being woman, very bad, and bad at being men. And that's my opinion. If you're trying to force me anything else, then it's you're trying to compel me. You are trying to force me against my belief. And I think that Elon Musk is particularly emotional on this issue because of his daughter who hates him. You know, his daughter with a Canadian woman. She's trans or non-binary. I don't exactly know how she identifies, but I know she has gone the way of the LGBT. And she has been publicly trying to humiliate Elon. And I think Elon is going full fash in reaction to this. He's like, scorched earth, fuck this shit. I'm gonna create a future world in which people aren't forced to accept the trans pronouns imposed by others. Good for him. Good for him. Biden signs into law same-sex marriage bill 10 years after his famous Sunday show answer on the issue. So this is a federal law that will force certain states to recognize homosexual marriage, even if you can't have, even if you were in a future situation where in that state they take position against gay marriage, they would still have to honor the marriages of other states as valid, even if they're gay. I think it's a federal overreach, but I think it will technically pass because the federal is given power in interstate matters, and they will argue that, well, interstate marriage is what we're dealing with here, so since it's interstate, it's our responsibility. But I think that states in the US should be able to gain control of what they honor in terms of marriages. There is progress in this case of multiple murder. You know, the cute blonde girls that keep being featured at Fox News. I haven't talked about this very much, but a clerk just hours ago at a gas station was working during the night, and that clerk was looking through old videos and looking if there was evidence on the CCTV camera of her grocery store gas station, whether they would find evidence of who could have been involved in the murder of the four University of Idaho students. And she found a car, a white sedan, that passed in front of her the gas station. That's her taking a picture with her phone of the security camera monitor. So that would be a first evidence pointing to a potential suspect that night who happened to drive during the night around 3:45 a.m. Interesting, maybe it. And people were like, "Jeff, why don't you talk about these murders? It's white people who have been murdered." Well, I'm going to talk about these murders when we know more, but I need some kind of motive. For now, there is nothing that indicates we can find who committed these murders. So when we know more about the suspect, I will cover these murders. For now, that is the first development that we get in finding something that could be a suspect. So a white sedan identified now in that investigation. Colorado says, what happened to state rights in the Constitution? Well, they've been stepped over by a federal government that is always more creative in finding technicalities and ways of fucking up with state liberties. Grief says, Slash Poll is still working on it. Not much happening as far as I can tell. All right. And that is it, I believe. Oh yeah, this one. Israeli researchers say they have developed gene-edited hens that lay eggs from which only female chicks hatch. The breakthrough could prevent the slaughter of billions of male chickens each year, which are culled because they don't lay eggs. Bro. We need the male chicken because we want chicken wings. Oh, and thank you, Eric Oliver, for your $10 donation on Entropy. He says, I have no contribution to this discussion other than this donation. Well, thank you so much. It's good to see you. Much love, everyone. Sleep well and get ready for an amazing Christmas week.